It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, our next guest digs deep into the causes of violent behavior and says our moral belief systems are often the driving force.
First, it's been less than a month since the documentary series Making a Murderer debuted on Netflix, but in that short time, it's generated a lot of buzz around the nation and tells the story of Stephen Avery, who in 2005 was convicted of killing Teresa Halbach in Manitowoc County. And the series raises many questions about how that case was handled.
Well, the series has been criticized by some for being one-sided and leaving out certain pieces of evidence that supported Avery's conviction, hasn't stopped outraged viewers from speaking out. People are signing petitions asking for a pardon of Stephen Avery by the thousands. In addition, the filmmakers say that a juror from Avery's 2005 murder case supposedly reached out to them to say he or she believed Avery was framed by law enforcement.
Here with us now to talk more about what's been going on since the series was released is Bruce Vilmedi. He's a reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he covers legal affairs. Bruce, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Well, I don't know if anyone expected the huge reaction from this series. Can you describe what it's been, especially in the last week or two?
Well, I'd even go back a little further. I had written a very small item before the series was released, about a week before, I think, where I just noted that the trailer was now available. You know, because before we had done stories that the series was coming, but there's really nothing to see about it. So it was a short item noting the trailer was available, and I linked to the trailer. That first weekend after the series was released, I got nasty emails from people who thought I wasn't on their side enough in just promoting the fact the trailer was available. And that's kind of when I first got, in fact, one of these people said they were going to feed me to Reddit, which is the online community where people were discussing it already, if I didn't sort of do the right thing and write another story about, you know, how he was framed, I guess.
Wow. So people were on board with it already, tracking it well before it was released. So is that, do you put that down to the ground efforts of the filmmakers? Were they already creating a big community online, or has this case been kind of active since it happened?
Oh, no, I mean, this happened as soon as it had been released, the weekend it got released. Obviously, people watched it immediately. Is what I meant. As soon as they saw it, they went back and were looking for everything that had been written about.
Gotcha.
And they found even this short brief promoting it. It was really what I was doing, was saying, hey, you may think you're tired of this story if you're from Wisconsin, but based just on the trailer, you might get interested again. And sure, we are very interested again, I guess.
So that's happened. What else have you seen?
Well, I think in just the short time, it's my recollection of it. I did another story. I did do a follow-up story about the initial buzz that I think ran the day after Christmas, and it's continued growing, obviously. And I think my interest in it is, I'm interested in more of it as a TV phenomenon, I think, more than a legal phenomenon, because, I mean, I've covered and gone to many, many, many trials in a long career of being a journalist, and I think to people who are familiar with it, you realize that, you know, almost every case has got its flaws. And that many cases, people are convicted anyway, and we know that a lot of those convictions are wrongful, as, you know, Avery's initial conviction proved. But what I'm more interested in just how it's become this massive phenomenon online, and it says, like, who would have thought this was something that's on a very limited, not everyone gets Netflix. And I think some of the national commentators are starting to make these observations now. There's one in the LA Times today that says, you know, this is really about your audience. You know, that buzz really shows the power of a compelling narrative and the importance of knowing your audience, and points out that the audience, though we think it's everybody, is really more limited than you would think. It's people who, one, get Netflix and have the time to watch the 10 hours and then the time to be outraged and write about it.
So given that, given all of what you just said, why do you think it is resonating so much with the people who watch it on Netflix?
Because I think it must be, and here's my full disclosure, I meant to say this up front, I have not watched the entire thing yet. I've seen the trailer. But I can tell just from the reaction, it's phenomenally done. And I mean, even some of the people I talked to early in that first week who were, you know, subject of a lot of criticism in the piece admit it's very skillfully done and obviously has a great impact on viewers. Not only getting them to watch 10 hours in a row, but then to follow up by, you know, writing to their congressman and making phone calls to Manitowoc and harassing the lawyers they don't like and, you know, making marriage proposals to the lawyers they do like, that kind of stuff. It's just powerful. And I think it just shows you how, you know, film or video editing can be still one of our most compelling mediums out there.
Now, one ongoing point of conversation has some viewers saying that the series is told expressly from the point of view of the defense, according to those people who think that, and not the prosecution. How is that topic unfolding?
I think the people who are convinced by watching the whole thing that he was framed and is innocent are convinced of that because of the power of the piece. And I think that the fact that they reacted so strongly suggests it does short shrift, and more and more people are now coming out to detail the kind of pieces of the story that are omitted or given only, surface treatment in the documentary. And I'm not faulting the documentary. The filmmakers are out to make a hit film, and they did. So I think it's clear that, a conspiracy story, that kind of narrative, is a much more compelling kind of a program to watch than something that's a traditional, super balanced, dry documentary.
We're talking right now to Bruce Valmetti from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He covers legal affairs, talking about the Netflix hit Making of a Murderer, which is getting bigger and bigger right now. And in fact, this year we've seen petitions, or last couple of weeks, I should say, petitions starting on change.org, whitehouse.gov, with the goal of getting a pardon for Stephen Avery and for his nephew. And these petitions have been getting hundreds of thousands of signatures. Is that likely to convince anyone in this case to take a second look?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think there are some people who have believed, and from what I've seen so far, I tend to lean that possibly Dassey would get a new trial out of this because he's got the pending habeas petition right now in federal court here in Milwaukee. It raises a lot of the same complaints about his lawyer's work for him that were already once rejected by the State Court of Appeals. But, different audience, this is a federal magistrate who's considering it, may view it differently. I'm not sure that necessarily will get him a different outcome unless his effort, which was done by his lawyers, even the lawyers that come off the worst in the documentary, Mr. Kaczynski, they did try to suppress his initial confession, which was the most damning thing against him. If he got a new trial and somehow a different judge were to suppress that, then it's a different ballgame. He could, but I don't, for Avery, I honestly wouldn't like to see it, because that almost suggests that anyone who can get a lot of public outrage over their case can get a new trial or get released from prison. And I think I'd like to rather trust the legal system. Even though we know it has flaws, I think I'd rather trust that than just popular opinion.
Now, we've had a lively conversation about this going on over on the Central Time Facebook page, and a listener earlier in the day posted an article that made the point that the death of Teresa Halbach was getting lost in this big media circus, and that a human life was lost here in a horrible way.
Has her
family spoken out about the series at all?
I tried to leave a message for her brother when I did this follow-up story around Christmas time. Didn't get a response, and I have not seen them talking about this anywhere. I think they made a statement ahead of the series release, knowing it was coming and probably assuming the tack it was going to take, and said what you'd expect them to say. It's just horrible that people are making entertainment and a profit off our tragedy, and it's hard to disagree with that. Although, on the other hand, I don't dispute why. I understand why people find it fascinating, and I'm sure it's a very super compelling piece of work, as evidenced by the people who've watched it 10 hours straight and then taken steps to express their outrage.
I understand that the New York Post has gone so far as to suggest that Manitowoc County is now a tourist destination, that people are going there, taking pictures of places that they believe to be affiliated, shown this documentary series. Is that actually happening based on what you've seen?
I've heard that. I've not seen it, but I have colleagues who say they've seen the pictures. And, it's kind of odd because in the beginning, we thought, oh my God, this is what does the Chamber of Commerce think in Manitowoc County? They're looking like the worst kind of Mississippi during Jim Crow or whatever, as a place of corruption and prejudice. And now, I think just before we came on, there was a story about the demands for the records from the clerk's office there. And I read one where a person in Australia was willing to pay the $6,000 copying costs to get all this stuff. So, maybe they sell that a few times and people come as tourists. In the end, it winds up being a benefit. I don't know. I think the people involved, know what they know, and it's they don't enjoy this kind of attention that paints them in a pretty bad light. And if, and the fact is, they did make a lot of mistakes in the case. There were a lot of things they could have done better. And but whether that means he's innocent, you know, or framed, or will get out, that remains to be seen.
Well, Bruce, thanks a lot for joining us.
No problem. Thank you.
That was Bruce Valmetti, legal affairs reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joined us to talk about the latest buzz surrounding the series Making a Murderer.